Shabbat Shalom. I'm sure that you will be able to identify with the following two illustrations. Please think about these and in the quiet of your heart, decide which person is the one you would want to be remembered by others. In our first illustration, we meet Harry, a successful and wealthy businessman who has a perception of himself as one who is entitled to certain privileges. For example, when Harry was approached to run for city council, he demanded of the mayor that when he won his seat, he would be asked to join the mayor's inner council. Harry did win his council seat. However, another councillor was chosen for the mayor's cabinet instead of Harry. Upon hearing the news, Harry told the mayor he would fight every piece of legislation coming from the cabinet and make life difficult for the mayor until she honored his demands. In our second example, Sarah, a cook in a local restaurant, was diagnosed with breast cancer. She was informed she had between 6 months and a year to live. When she shared this information with her employer, he fired her for sanitation reasons. Rather than fight her dismissal on the grounds of discrimination, she took the opportunity to embark on a mission trip to Nicaragua with members of her congregation to build an orphanage and a school. While there, Sarah cooked for the mission's team and prepared snacks for the locals who worked alongside the team. Sarah was very successful in speaking to women within the village and drawing them to Messiah. Sarah passed away 2 weeks after she returned to Manitoba. Now, beloved, which person's life would you like to inhabit? Harry's or Sarah's?
Sarah.
Think about this carefully, for the answer will determine the focus of his message for us this week. Which of us is the greatest? Follow along with me, please, as we read Mark 9, verses 33 to 37. They arrived at Capernaum. When Yeshua was inside the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing as we were traveling?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had been arguing with each other about who was the greatest. He sat down, summoned the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he must make himself last of all and servant of all." He took a child and stood him among them. Then he put his arms around him and said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Abba Father, I pray as we listen to your message to us today that we are filled with humility. Humility that would allow us to hear the message you have for us within our hearts. And I pray, Abba, that not only will we hear your message, but we will also take it into our hearts and from our hearts into our daily behavior. For that is the purpose of your messages for us. And for this we thank you and praise your holy name. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshiachenu. Amen. Today's message follows a series of messages I've been sharing with you, focusing on how we are to be serving Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. This week, Adonai Tzevaot has asked me to focus on Adonai Yeshua's words to us. If anyone wants to be first, he is to make himself last of all and servant of all. The first question needed to be asked then is, how do we make ourselves last of all? Beloved, This is not an easy question to answer. This speaks directly to the condition of our hearts and how we see ourselves, not only within our various communities, but more importantly, how we see ourselves in the sight of Almighty God. A good place to begin this investigation will be Philippians 2. Listen carefully as Rav Shaul shares with us the perfect model of servanthood displayed by Adonai Yeshua. Let your attitude toward one another be governed by your being in union with the Messiah Yeshua. Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be possessed by force. On the contrary, he emptied himself in that he took the form of a slave by becoming like human beings are. Let's examine for a moment how this model might resonate with us. The first important aspect of Shaul's message of Adonai Yeshua's servanthood is the realization that he is God, the ruler of the universe, and the creator of all. However, being so, he did not have the ambition nor the arrogance to demand the supernatural powers which one might attribute to God. Rather, as Rav Shaul claims, he emptied himself in that he took the form of a slave by becoming like human beings are. What does this mean? Our beloved Messiah pushed aside the powers of God and instead allowed himself to be filled with Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of God, who directed him through the Father. Here we see the perfect model of total surrender. There was nothing he would do, or indeed allowed himself to do, that was not first ordained by Adonai Tzevaot himself. Remember what he said to us as recorded in John 5. I tell you that the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does too. This was voluntary on his part, and not through coercion, intimidation, or persuasion. Here we see in this act of submitting to the will of Abba the kind of surrender to love to which we all might aspire. This surrendering meant his position was that of a slave to his master, and he asks us to be the same. We've looked at the form of slavery existing in biblical days. However, we have spent little time examining the characteristics of a spiritual slave to Adonai Elohim. Most of the characteristics may be found in the message Adonai Yeshua gave at the foot of Mount Eremos, a large hill between Capernaum and Tabgha, slightly north of the Cove of the Sower. Just as an aside, when I visited this site, I noticed from the geographic structure, the lower part of the hill formed a perfect natural amphitheater. And when someone spoke from this location, the voice could be heard clearly at the top of the hill. While someone speaking from even halfway up the hill could not be heard at either the bottom or the top. So pictures showing Adonai Yeshua sitting on the hill are an error. He would have sat right at the base of the hill, would have been heard clearly by the thousands of people who gathered there. Let's review some of the characteristics Adonai Yeshua shared with us about being servants of Adonai Elohim. In Matthew 5, where all these characteristics are taught, we read, "How blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." Just what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Does it mean we are to be impoverished of the spirit? That would hardly be the meaning, since Adonai Yeshua himself warned us in Matthew 6, "For where your wealth is, there your heart will be also." The term poor in spirit is an ancient idiom which means humble in one's heart. As this is the critical aspect of one's relationship with Hashem, it is important we clearly understand its meaning. According to Rabbi Shaul, humility is weakness supported by grace. As he writes in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The thorn God left with Paul reminded him of the need to rely on God alone. When we are humble, we are reliant on God's strength to use our weaknesses for his glorification. If we look back in history, we realize how God used people with weaknesses. Avigdor, or as we better know him, Moses, was initially impulsive and prideful. Joshua felt inadequate and lacked confidence. Rahab was a prostitute. Gideon was a mouse hiding in a wine barrel. David was an adulterer and murderer. But God used these people for his purposes and made them humble. Humility is God's strength in our weakness. Each of these biblical heroes was willing to recognize personal weaknesses, and in doing so, was made humble before the Lord. Indeed, Adonai Tzevaot claimed Moses was the most humble of human beings. Even though he rebelled against Adonai when he struck the rock twice. However, he was the only totally human being to be able to speak to Adonai face to face. To be poor in spirit, then, also means to recognize our sinfulness as an ongoing state of being human, and to be constantly asking Hashem to clean our hearts of the filth that builds there, fueled by our human natures. We must work with Adonai to ask him to remove all self-satisfaction and pride from our very beings, recognizing there is always some level of pride within us. Even by declaring we have no pride within us, displays our pride. King Solomon reveals very clearly to us in Proverbs 3, "The scornful he, Hashem, scorns, but gives grace to the humble." "How blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land." Would you agree with me, Adonai Yeshua was meek? But didn't he become angry with the money changers and the sellers of sacrificial animals? And didn't he become angry with Kepha when this leader of the apostles disputed our Messiah's destiny? Do we believe meekness is weakness? Lest we have the wrong perception here, I ought to clarify the true meaning of being meek. Being sensitive to others is very much a part of being meek. But what does sensitivity to others mean? Rav Shaul tells us in Ephesians 4, "To be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Messiah." A synonym for sensitive is tender. The Hebrew word for tender is rachav, and it literally means to be soft. What do you hear when you hear the word soft? Do you hear weak? Do you hear malleable? Or do you hear, as it is written in Proverbs 15, A soft answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Regarding our own striving for meekness, are we ready to ask the Holy Spirit of God to reveal our weaknesses to us, the scars of our life experiences? Do we have the courage to face those weaknesses and scars and ask for the guidance of Ruach HaKadosh in overcoming and declaring victory? How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Aren't we all hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Righteousness is a two-way relationship, meaning if we want to receive righteousness from Hashem, we must also seek righteousness in our relationships with people. Righteousness in relationships is a synonym for right relationships. Right relationships are relationships characterized by openness, transparency, honesty, humility, being able to love unconditionally, and a willingness to ask for and provide forgiveness. Right relationships among people are the same as relationships with Adonai Elohim Tzavaot. Each one of these characteristics of right human relationship is what Adonai Elohim requires of our relationship with Him. The Puritan have a saying, the person who feels not his need to be righteous is the person who needs it most desperately. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to recognize our lack. Realizing we have a need for the righteousness of Hashem allows us to be purposeful in seeking His righteousness. How do we do this without working for it, as modern Jews believe is their way to righteousness? Seeking after righteousness is to come before His throne on a daily basis, and to ask Him to forgive us and to give us what is necessary to be righteous. Clean hearts, humility, emptied of pride and arrogance, a desire to be sinless, and so on. When we consciously recognize our need to be righteous, we have already signaled to Him our readiness to be filled with His righteousness. When we realize the need for us to work towards right relationships with others, that is to have righteous human relationships, we have already started receiving His righteousness. Here is a reality. We are unable to develop righteous relationships with others unless we have righteousness within us to share. If we are argumentative, boastful, filled with pride or arrogance, driven by ambition and greed, we do not have the capacity to receive His righteousness. It is as simple as that. How blessed are those who show mercy, for they will be shown mercy. Are we to show mercy to others, even though we have not received mercy from Adonai Elohim? Before you answer this question in your own hearts, travel with me to the book of Daniel. In chapter 3, we read of the trial faced by three of Daniel's colleagues in Babylon, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also known in the Babylonian tongue as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow to the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar, and for this they were sentenced to death by fire. Listen to their response when the sentence was imposed. Your Majesty, if our God whom we serve is able to save us, He will save us from the blazing hot furnace and from your power. But even if He doesn't, We want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will neither serve your gods nor worship the gold statue which you have set up. What might be the message for us in their experience? Our obedience to Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, our Lord God Almighty, is not contingent on what He does for us, but is unconditional because we are His slaves. We serve Him unconditionally. Therefore, when He orders us to show love to our neighbors, we are to show our neighbors mercy. That is, we do not seek revenge on them for how they have negatively affected us by their behaviors. Rather, we show them love embedded within forgiveness. And as Adonai Yeshua shares with us, when we show mercy to especially those who harm us, physically, emotionally, spiritually, or financially, we will receive mercy from Hashem. Before we go any further, I realize how difficult this is to accomplish. Many times I have been put in the position of being attacked verbally and in writing. I know my first impulse is to attack back and avenge myself. However, that is not Hashem's desire for me. He wants me to show His glory through love and mercy. Beloved, this is how we serve Him. We are not like those in the world of flesh and sin who strike back at any perceived affront. We are not loose cannons popping off with overreaction or vitriol when our feelings are hurt. We have Him to rely on to take our hurts and pains from us because we show mercy to others. So let's review thus far what it means to be slaves of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. First, we only do what our Master asks of us. Our initiative is limited to the tasks He sets for us. So the question I have for you, are you waiting for God's call upon you? Second, we are humble. Humility becomes a way of life. We do not set ourselves above others in status and prestige, but below them. We rid ourselves, we empty ourselves of pride and ambition. A slave for Adonai Elohim does not carry pride or ambition as motivations, but love and adoration for Hashem. So my question for you, have you, in the process of emptying yourself of ego and pride and being humble in your relationship with God and others, recognized your meekness? Third, we are meek. Meekness is strength under control. Yes, we are allowed to be angry, but that anger must be contained and focused on the issue at hand, not at the person or their character. Only Adonai Yeshua has the right to judge the worth of others. Meekness does not mean weakness. This is a common misconception. Others will be able to see our strength coming through our gentleness, our tenderness, our love. Being meek does not mean being doormats. We are not to allow people to take advantage of us, but are to respond to them with love, mercy, and firmness. So my question to you, do you display meekness in your interactions with others? Fourth, we continually seek righteousness. On our own, we will never be righteous. As in Isaiah 64, we are told, all of us are like someone unclean, all our righteous deeds like dirty rags. Clearly, Adonai Tzevaot will make us righteous. Nothing is required of us except obedience and love. Indeed, both the main categories of commands, love God and love your neighbor, are predicated on the active element of love. For us to earn our righteousness, we would be rejecting the grace Adonai Elohim gave to us. And so my question to all of us, are we seeking after righteousness on a continuous basis? 5, we show mercy to others. Once more, the major command to show love to our neighbors is the imperative for us to be slaves of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, our Lord God Almighty. Mercy is the quality of displaying love to those whom would harm us. If this were easy to do, almost everyone would do it. However, this is extremely difficult to accomplish and requires a transformation of our hearts and our minds as well. And so my question to all of us, are our hearts ready to let in the light and to forgive those who would harm or who have already harmed us? So let's review those questions. Are we waiting for God's call upon us? Are we in the process of emptying ourselves of ego and pride and being humble in our relationship with God and others? Are we displaying meekness in our interactions with others? Are we seeking after righteousness on a continuous basis? Are our hearts ready to let in the light and to forgive those who would harm or who have already harmed us? If you have said no to any of these questions, as I have, you now have a reason for going to Adonai Elohim Tzevaot and an agenda for asking for his help and direction. Please take the time to allow him to work in your heart through his Holy Spirit. And be patient. This is deep heart work and takes time. May Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of God, guide you through this growth. Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty, Creator of the universe and the lover of our souls, I pray that our hearts are open to the work of the Holy Spirit and to the change which will be accomplished through our surrender to your will. I pray, Abba, that you will lead us and guide us as we go through this process, as we allow ourselves to surrender to your will, as we allow ourselves to be made humble, to be made contrite, to be made meek, and to be made righteous. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshechinu. In the blessed name of our beloved Messiah, we pray.